Welcome to The Fighting Priests, a podcast exploring orthodoxy and jiu-jitsu. Two paths, one struggle. Father Ted Paraskevopoulos and Father Thomas Sandberg are two orthodox Christian priests who also happen to be practitioners of jiu-jitsu. Together, they explore how these two unique worlds intersect and what it means for our spirituality. Here's Father Ted and Father Thomas.
Hi guys, Joanna Shanna here. I just wanted to say congratulations on finishing off your first year. You guys had some incredible episodes in there, lots of great information. And I was honored to be on episode number 4, crazy. Wishing you guys a very successful coming year, and I'm sure you're going to bring a lot more great info for us to listen to. So take care, good luck, and we'll listen soon.
Welcome, everybody, back to The Fighting Priests, episode 27, and today is our one-year anniversary. Father Thomas, happy anniversary, man.
You too.
You know, it's been a year as we record this, and as this episode airs, it is exactly 1 year from the day we started The Fighting Priests. And I hate to say it, but it's also been 1 year since the pandemic started. So I don't know, how do you feel having finished 1 year?
It's been an interesting year. It kind of feels like, because it feels like it's been like a long Lent or something. That's what I've kind of in my head, because now Lent's going to be starting again right away. And so it's been a weird year.
Yeah. When this episode airs now, we will be, I think, 1 week into Lent, because we're just about to enter. And last year we had Pascha early, and so it was we were already in Lent when we had started, but the lockdown had just started in mid-March, and we aired our first episode at the beginning of April. So this is 1 year, 27 episodes, and it's been pretty good. But unfortunately, it's also the reality that we're still in lockdowns, unfortunately. You know, we're still in this like strange world of pandemic where, you know, here in Toronto, we still have a lockdown. I think it's even stricter than where you are, I think, in Manitoba. Like, what's the situation there?
And now you're more strict, because for a long time, Manitoba was the most strict in all Canada, something that our conservative premier was proud of for some weird reason. Mm-hmm. And so now we're allowed 100 people in the church, and which was good, because we just had the first Saturday of the Souls, and it actually went pretty well. I thought it was going to be crazy, but it was the Father Nick and the parish council yesterday, they had everything really good, and how to get the koliva and stuff inside and back to the people, and everything went really well. And we can have jiu-jitsu again. We had classes at 25% capacity, but you have to wear masks right now. So hopefully that will change soon, because as the law stands, it's pretty ridiculous. If you go swimming, you have to wear your mask inside, right? But you can take it off when you're swimming. So it's like, then the question becomes like, well, where do you put your mask when you take it off once you're in the pool? On the side of the pool? Like, it's like, who's making these rules? People who don't swim?
This opens up a whole new market for waterproof masks.
That's funny, because I was at my, after liturgy, I went to my goddaughter's house, because there are a lot of people in the backyard, right, outside. And so I was telling him this, and he's like, what? You can make a waterproof mask? Like, what's going on here? So I think that'll people, that they're going to change that probably soon, because they weren't going to have that. And then they changed some restrictions, but they took that one out. They were going to let everyone work out with a mask.
Well, at least you're training again here in Toronto. We're still like in the gray zone, what it's called, which is basically like some things opened up a little bit, but the churches are still at only 10 people, so essentially closed. It's still pretty strict. You can't get a haircut still. You can't.
Oh yeah.
You can't do any of that stuff in Toronto. The outer regions have kind of opened a bit. Yeah. But here it's still very strict. So yeah, like we're filming our 1 year anniversary special, and it's been a year since we started this during the pandemic to kind of give ourselves something to do, and kind of have some fun. And now that we're coming up to our 1 year anniversary, we're still in a, a lockdown, which means we have to keep making episodes. Yeah. All right. Well, it's exciting to close out the year with you. and let's take a look at what we've done.
Hey, Father Ted and Father Thomas. This is Eric from episode 16. Greetings from Portland, Oregon, and congratulations on 1 year of success with your podcast, The Fighting Priests. I love every episode, and I'm looking forward to many more awesome episodes.
All right. So, you know, here at our 1 year episode, we're just kind of reflecting back on the last year and kind of the journey that we've had and, you know, all the different kind of guests that we've kind of been able to have on the show. We've been blessed to meet a lot of different people in the Orthodox world who are also jiu-jitsu enthusiasts and practitioners. And one person had kind of asked a question, had sent me an email a while back, and I hadn't had a chance to kind of address it. And I wanted to kind of talk about it today at our 1 year. Somebody had asked, you know, Father, are you saying in your podcast, because, you know, we see that you really love jiu-jitsu, are you saying that jiu-jitsu is an alternative to Orthodox spirituality? You know, like, is it because you're always emphasizing kind of like the commonalities between the two? You know, are you saying that you don't need the Orthodox part if you're doing jiu-jitsu or vice versa? And so I want to kind of address that because I don't think we're saying that in the podcast. Father Thomas, what would you say to that question like that?
I would say that that it's not true.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, because one is just something you do. It's like secular, you know, it's just a secular activity. It's, if anything, I guess it's morally neutral. It's just the martial art. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like it's just because like, so we have this podcast and we explore the connections between Orthodox and Jiu-Jitsu. That doesn't mean that they're both on an equal footing. You know, it's like, you know, always our spirituality, our devotion to God, our faith, you know, and our fellow human beings should be number one. And then everything else is secondary. So even jiu-jitsu takes a side seat to that. But it is nice when you get to, you know, discover things in your secular life that are fairly in line with what you do spiritually and also that can help you. Like I think jiu-jitsu has helped me spiritually, even though it's not a spiritual practice. It's not, like you said, it's a secular martial art, but it has, emphasized a lot of the Orthodox teaching. So in that sense, it strengthened a lot of the teachings that we have in the Orthodox faith. Like, you know, does it replace them? Of course not. You know, one supplements the other, not the other way around, right? Mm-hmm. At least that's the way I see it. I hope that we haven't kind of put that forth in our podcast that, you know, we care more about jiu-jitsu than Orthodoxy or that we think that it's something that is more important. Of course not. But it is something wonderful. At least I think for Orthodox Christians who kind of understand especially the ascetic life, spiritual struggle, and how that works. So we hope that our listeners have gotten something out of it, at least in that regard.
Yeah, I think like everything you do, I think it's because we have this dichotomy because in ancient Greek, the word psyche, right? People think it's like there's the psyche and then there's the soma, and they're two separate, like both soul and the body. But the psyche is the body and the soul together. Mm-hmm. Especially if you go into the ancient conception. Like if you read Genesis, right, in Greek, he breathes in and makes it a living psyche.
A living soul, yeah.
Yeah, and then depending the context is how they're going to be translated in English. I think there's even some verses where someone dies in St. Paul, he checks to make sure the psyche didn't leave him. So it's, right, or you have that verse from Mark, and so if a man loses his soul but gains the whole world, that right? Mm-hmm. But depending how you translate the word psyche, so it could be life, soul. Mm-hmm. So you get this kind of dichotomy. But so everything you're doing when you're embodied, I don't like how to say it in English, is going to have a physical and a spiritual effect on your personhood. And I think this comes down to there's this dichotomy because I think it's St. Paul again, maybe he says it. He says, exercise profiteth little. It doesn't do much. So people bring this up. Well, I don't need to care my body because, you know, but it's like how you treat your body is how you treat your soul. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, you live in a city or a town or outside a city and there's only like if your priest isn't doing Saturday Vespers and something on the weekday and Sunday, then you're only going to go to church once a week. So what are you filling your time with?
Yeah.
There's a lot of hours in there. It's like, oh, you're going to sit in your prayer corner and pray the hours at home. Well, if you do that, then that's very good of you. But at the same time, you're not a monk and life is for living. Mm-hmm. So you got to find some way integrate being an Orthodox Christian into the world in a meaningful way. Otherwise, you're just being like the Amish. you're partaking of the benefits of a society, but not being a part of it.
Yeah, you know, it was. I was recently discussing this with a couple who was here at the church. You know, we're doing some marriage counseling, and they were asking me about this kind of concept of, you know, how can everything be a prayer? Like the Apostle Paul says, you know, pray constantly, right? Pray at all times. And so they were asking me about that. Does that mean that I'm always saying, you know, the Jesus prayer in my head, or that I'm always praying? I said, no, it's like, I was trying to explain to them the concept of that everything you do as an Orthodox Christian can become a prayer. So even your mundane work, right? Like, you know, monastics are doing manual labor all the time, and that manual labor is there to make them focus, but also so that they're productive. But the actual manual labor becomes a prayer if it's done with gratefulness, and if it's done with a proper kind of like attitude towards, you know, the betterment of society and your fellow human beings, and as a kind of an exercise of your talents that God has given you, that too becomes a prayer, right? Mm-hmm. So we were discussing this, and even like in the last episode that we had with Nick Grigoriadis, you know, from South Africa, and you know, we were talking about the kind of like the parallels of, you know, fasting and Lent, right? And jujitsu. You know, our good friend, Denny Prokopos from San Francisco, he was on a few episodes ago. He heard that episode with Nick Grigoriadis, and he sent me some messages the other day asking me, it's like, oh, you know, I never thought of that. I never thought of, you know, jujitsu, like the way we train, right? The way we exercise in the gym. You drew the analogy, he said, Father, you know, between that and like Lent, and the spiritual life, you know, tell me more about that. And mm-hmm. So I, you know, we talked a little bit about it, and I was discussing with him and saying, well, yeah, like, you know, everything we do in the Orthodox faith is, it's like, it's spiritual training. And it's also physical, because, you know, it's not just the prayers that we use, but, you know, we have physical metanias, you know, prostrations and fasting, physical fasting, and attending like church, and giving out alms and things like that. Like, we do physical things with our body that are physical manifestations of our spirituality, right? Like mm-hmm. concrete manifestations. And I don't know, jujitsu for me is just one more physical manifestation of a spiritual struggle, you know, of what we're doing on the inside. It's like, and a lot of things can become that. You can, even from just, you know, mopping floors to woodworking to, you know, creating art, you know, anything can become an expression of your spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Or I think it's also when you do something, especially makes physical, whether grappling, jiu-jitsu, wrestling, whatever, but something that's intricate like that, and it seems like there's patterns, and it seems like they almost like they pre-exist, and you just discover the patterns. It's almost like everything you do, you're doing to show the glory of God's creation. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's everything you can do with your body that's lawful to do is for the glory of God, because it shows the beauty of God's creation, I think.
Sure. Yeah. Well, yeah, like, you know, look at the last year of the pandemic, right? Like, you know, we've had, you mentioned earlier that this feels kind of like this extended Lenten season. It's almost like we've been in one giant, you know, yeah. Lenten retreat for the last year. And it does feel like that, just because of it's been somewhat monotonous, and this kind of theme of lockdown has been permeating our lives for the last year. But it's also how we approach it and the opportunities that it presents, right? So like in my personal life, you know, the lockdown was actually more beneficial, both spiritually and physically, than it was detrimental. You know, I was able to use the time to kind of really focus on more time to pray, but also more time to focus on, you know, my body, health-wise, exercise, putting in more of a regiment, my jiu-jitsu, all these kind of things I had more time for, and I was able to kind of reorganize my life and put it into a better order, right? a typicon, if you will, right? Which has really benefited me. So it's like, okay, yeah, we've had a difficult time and we've had a lot of strain, but that strain can also create, you know, that pressure can create diamonds, right? I think that's how we're supposed to be viewing like Lent, generally speaking, and the spiritual life in total, right? Like we understand it with other concepts of our lives, like working out or like building a business or like studying, but for some reason it doesn't translate into our minds into like spirituality. Like how do you strengthen your spirituality, right?
Well, yeah, I think it's because the disconnect is people think of physicality as something separate than spirituality, whereas I would say it's the same thing. Because we're spiritual creatures, so no matter what you're doing a spiritual activity. So if anything, that's more like, I think that's like a dangerous realization, because I realize then you think about all the time you waste that could have a potential spiritual benefit that doesn't, because you're focused on just straight physicality, right? Or even the lack of it. You're just sitting around watching something, right? Mm-hmm. And it reminds me, because in that book by Father, the late Alexander Schmemann, his great Lent book, the most people know, he says, towards the end, right, he says, making it real or making it count in our lives, right, to make, because that book at the time is about making the participation of a liturgical renewal and people's understanding, right, in the West with the beauty of the services and what they mean and having a true participation. And so I think if you think of this last year as like an extended Lent, especially for lay people, it's weird for me because we've obviously been going to church this whole time as priests, right? But then my wife could not come here. So she'd be watching on the computer or something. So it's like we have a foot in both worlds. So I can see lay people, but it's also a time then you could hopefully for the man of the house to step up and take his role as the priest of the house. For the house is a little church, right? Because, you know, I'm not going to say who, but there are some priests or some hierarchs in Greece who think the services shouldn't be broadcast, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least not the divine liturgy. And so the alternative to that would be this that's been suggested is that the head of the household would lead the family in a modified ortho service, right? Mm-hmm. And so you start learning so you're teaching your children how to pray without, you know, going to a church, and then you're functioning in your roles that the church teaches that men and women have, right? The complementary roles that we have with each other.
Yeah. Well, it's forcing you to do what we should have been doing anyways. Right. So yeah. It's like now out of necessity, we can't put it on anybody else. It's like, oh, there's no Sunday school. So now I got to teach my own kids.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have access to a priest 24/7 or my church on a weekly basis. So now I have to create something else. What we didn't realize is that we should have had a balance between the church and the home and the church in the community. Though that balance should have existed from day one, but the pandemic, what it's done is it's forced us to kind of like, you know, strengthen those weak points in ourselves. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel the same way, like with jujitsu and with training, like generally speaking, the pandemic opened up, time, I guess you could say, to do things, but it's also showed me, at least personally, that, well, now slowly as things open up again, and hopefully we go back to normal, whatever that is, that the things that you've discovered during the lockdown that you had more time to discover, that those will be reintegrated properly into your daily life so that you don't forget about them. You don't kind of forget about the lessons you learn, but you make time for them because they're essential.
This is Father Michael Sekron, pastor of St. John Chrysostom Antiochian Orthodox Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Gracie Jiu-Jitsu Combatants Belt, wishing Father Ted and Father Thomas congratulations on completing 1 year of the podcast. Looking forward to hearing more of the great work you guys are doing. God bless.
So, yeah. So, like, you know, having said that, Father, you know, the last year has been interesting because, you know, we've said this before on the podcast that we thought there weren't that many people who were involved in jiu-jitsu, at least in the Orthodox world, let alone priests. And one thing that the last year has shown us is there's tons of people. A lot of people came out of the woodwork as soon as we started kind of creating these episodes and reaching out and people hearing them. And, you know, a lot of Orthodox Christians are involved in jiu-jitsu, and especially clergy. All over the world, but especially in the United States and Canada and and Orthodox Christians, lay people too, not just clergy. So that's been a very enriching experience, at least for me. I hope it has been for you as well. Like kind of hearing all these different stories of all these different people. I don't know, how have you found that? Like, did you expect to find that many people who were involved?
No, because it's weird. It's like the Orthodox Church in the West is small, right? Mm-hmm. It really is. And I just didn't think there would be that many. It's interesting that most of them are American, or almost all of them we've had are American. So it's...
But that's just proportional, because Canada is only like 1/10 of the population, right? Mm-hmm. So it makes sense. Like, we've had, how many Canadian guests have we had? Like one or two compared to like the rest, the other 15, let's say, that are,
Yeah. Like, obviously there's people who are Orthodox that I know in Canada from doing jiu-jitsu for like a decade, but I wouldn't say that they're born into an Orthodox family, but I would not say that they're Orthodox Christians. So it's not the same thing as the guests we've had on, the same living out of the faith and exercise and learning and developing. So it's different. Mm. To see like faithful Orthodox Christians who have similar interest in the martial art of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I think that's interesting.
Sure. Well, we've even had guests we've had guests that have communicated with me, as I manage our email account, our Gmail account. So I see all the emails coming back and forth. Even guests that are baptized Orthodox Christians, and then maybe they're nominal, I guess, in the sense that they don't really go to church much, but they still identify as Orthodox Christians, like most Orthodox Christians, or like any Christians for that matter. And actually through interaction with us and with our podcast and with the discussions that we've had, they've actually kind of found a renewed interest, right? So I've had a few people who've been like, hey, Father, I've been Orthodox my whole life. I do jiu-jitsu. I go to church like at Easter and Christmas, like most people, but I never really thought of, my faith being so relevant to my everyday quote unquote secular life. And even to my jiu-jitsu, right? So I've had a lot of people kind of like follow up with me and ask questions, and kind of, the discussion on the fighting priest has opened them up to kind of like an exploration in reverse, right? So they may be, deeply and heavily involved in jiu-jitsu, but now they're kind of interested in rediscovering their Orthodox roots. So that's a really positive too. If we can do that as well, right? Draw people into the faith.
The reverts.
Yeah. Why not? Right. Cause this is obviously it's, we never started this podcast as an evangelical tool, but rather as more of just for ourselves to kind of explore our own love of jiu-jitsu and kind of share it with other people as Orthodox Christians. But if people are interested also in Orthodoxy because of it, even our non-Orthodox guests who have been, we've had a couple of Catholics as well, on who are, who love the Orthodox Church and, know a lot about it. Even if they, see parallels there, I think that's a positive, generally speaking.
Yeah. And I think right now is a really important time, because you'll see it, especially with like traditional Catholics. You can see this online. There's like this thirst or rediscovery or re-nurturing of traditional masculinity because the liberal secular world says that traditional masculine values are horrible. Mm-hmm. But it's traditional masculine values that give strength and there's all these benefits to it that we have. And I think if you take that away from young men, then you get this situation where they're wandering, and then someone like Jordan Peterson comes in and they're rejuvenized and they're reinterested in what life means, or what it means to be a man, or what it means to stand up straight with your shoulders back, and move forward. Things that previous to 2016 were frowned upon.
Mm-hmm. And are still frowned upon by a lot of society, a big portion of society, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true. And that's where also, kind of secular pursuits like jiu-jitsu or even like thinkers like Jordan Peterson, for example, they can become an avenue by which people actually rediscover authentic spirituality, mm-hmm. and or rediscover You know, it's like, that's something that I was shocked when I started jiu-jitsu. I know you used to tell me all about like your experiences and how positive it is, but I had to actually experience it myself to kind of say, okay, well, wow, here's this secular kind of martial art that helped me as an Orthodox priest of 13 years rediscover elements of my faith that I, not that I hadn't forgotten them, but it's kind of like sometimes you become, what's the word? Not lazy, but just complacent, or you just kind of assume you know things, or they go on the back burner in your brain. And jiu-jitsu has kind of awoken those things in me.
Yeah, that's one of the benefits of jiu-jitsu for sure, is that it teaches you that you don't know, or even what you do know, there's so much more to learn, right? And there's so much you could forget in the process of learning, because there's just so much to learn. And if you have an insightful mind, you can extrapolate that to life, and you realize that that's applicable, or it should be applicable to any area of life. It's like I tell people who are coming to the church, I say the Orthodox Church is the most interesting thing I've ever encountered. And I think the other day, Ashley, was my presbyterian, was listening to a podcast at Everyday Orthodox podcast.
Yeah.
Talking to a recent convert, I guess, and she said it's like there's 2,000 years, depending if you include Judaism in the Second Temple period, even more, of theology and history to learn. It's like inexhaustible. And then that's just like the reality side of things. But when you delve into those topics, then they're like, they're like fonts of information and spirituality and truth that can transform you, and the depths are unending.
Sure. Yeah. And it can be daunting sometimes, right? Cause like people, like you said, like there's this kind of like, I would say a false dichotomy between the spirituality and the, you know, the everyday life. Mm-hmm. People don't see that spirituality is supposed to permeate your everyday life. Yeah. And so it's like, oh my goodness, 2000 years. That's too much for me. Where do I even start? Right. But then sometimes like the secular thing, like for example, jiu-jitsu, like, well, it gives you a starting point. Like I'll give you an example for myself. It's like, well, the concept of humility, right? Like we talk about humility all the time in the church. We say it's the foundation of all virtues, right? Without humility, you can't know God. You can't know your other fellow human beings. You can't love, you can't do anything, because ego and pride are like obviously the big enemy, right? So it's like, okay, we say that, and we say it in our sermons as priests, and you know, we repeat it over and over again. But even us as priests, like to internalize something like that requires a fair bit amount of humiliation. I don't say humility, humiliation, you know, because humility is a concept, but humiliation is a thing that's actually done to you, right? Like you need to go sometimes, like sometimes God needs to humble you, like physically and even socially humble you, so that you can kind of understand where you are, like what your place is, right? Like that you're not the be all and end all of Orthodox priests, or you're not the be all and end all of like, you know, theology of theologians. Right. And, you know, stepping out on the mat when you're overweight and getting smashed over and over again, right. For the better part of a year will humble you. Yeah. Right. It will keep you in your place in a good way, right? It will put you in your place and will keep you there. And it will remind you over and over again that you don't know what you don't know. And every time you think you know, there's something more to learn, which is exactly what we should understand in the Orthodox faith. And it's really beneficial. Like it's been an eye opener. Like it's you know, I remember, I think it was Henzo Gracie said, like, you know, in jiu-jitsu, my opponent is my teacher and the ego is my enemy. Mm-hmm. Right. Something along those lines. I'm probably misquoting it. But it's true. It's like this idea, you know, and all the other virtues or, you know, kind of like the things that we value in the Orthodox faith, like, you know, beyond just humility, but kindness and like mentorship, you know, the idea of a spiritual father and the idea of proper guidance that exists in jiu-jitsu as well. The idea of, you know, teaching, proper teaching and following and grow and personal growth. And yeah, all these things exist there, right? So yeah, it's been a really wonderful journey the last year. Learning, but also being able to kind of reflect on it through these podcasts and talking with people's, you know, people's journeys, like so many different people, like priests who have been like Marines and the Marine Corps, or, you know, other people who have come from other backgrounds or converts or cradle Orthodox, and, mm-hmm. you know, listening to how jiu-jitsu kind of like even awakened within them, you know, a greater love for their own spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Kings Canada would like to congratulate the Fighting Priests on their 1-year anniversary and wish them nothing but success for the years to come.
Well, coming up to our final thoughts, you know, I don't know, Father Thomas, we're obviously we would like to continue doing this podcast. I enjoy doing it with you. I hope you want to continue doing it for as long as we can and as long as there's something to talk about with Orthodox and Jiu-Jitsu. I don't know. Where do you see us going in the future? Have you had any thoughts? Have you have any ideas? Like, would you like to branch out to certain areas in the world and talk to different people? I have some thoughts.
I have no thoughts. My right now, with the way this the world is, the situation, I just try and get to one day at a time. That's as far as I think that. And I don't know. I don't know if I mentioned. I haven't mentioned this probably. But my presbytera is pregnant now, so that's the other thing. Yeah. So, but those two things in my mind, that's pretty much that's too much for me.
I was wondering if you're going to say that on the podcast ever.
Yeah, so I have those two things in my mind, and that's enough.
Sure, yeah, you know, that's exciting. And when is she due?
The doctor says August 15th.
Oh, my goodness. The remission of the Virgin Mary. Could you imagine if it's on the actual day?
Yeah, we'll see.
You'll have to call her Maria, or Despina, or Panayota. that's awesome. Well, that's exciting, and congratulations for you guys. And of course, that... Well, that makes you think a little bit about the future, about life changing and, where it's going to go and being a father and being parents and passing on your knowledge with somebody else.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah. So I just think about those things and, think with the podcast, just keep doing what we're doing. I would like to... As much as I look toward the future, which I try not to look for at all, the only thing I would enjoy is once the situation is over, to speak with people in a 2019, 2018 type of context, right? Like normal life, normal training, normal.
Yeah.
Not with people losing their jobs, worrying about money, with churches closed, like just the way things are supposed to be. And that struggle, like the normal struggle of life, not with this extra struggle added on top of it.
Sure. Well, this is kind of like what I was thinking about, that, you know, I agree with you that, you know, we've kind of been taking it day by day, and I always try to focus on just the day that I'm living. Mm-hmm. But as far as the podcast goes and where we're going, I do look forward to the pandemic being over, just because I think that will also give our show greater freedom to do more things with, like, not just interviewing people, but like even talking to people face to face, you know, not just over Zoom, and maybe visiting with people. That would be a wonderful thing, you know, in the future, you know, being able to kind of go on location sometimes and interview people, right? As opposed to just looking at them through a little screen, you know, on our laptops. That would be a wonderful thing. It would be nice to, like, I hope that we can branch out and maybe meet some people in Europe and other places in the world that are Orthodox and are also doing jiu-jitsu, not just the United States or North America. And because I know that, you know, jiu-jitsu is also big in Europe, and it's very, very different. And there's kind of like a different culture there, right? So, you know, it'd be wonderful to kind of touch base with those people. And who knows, maybe in the future it'll be nice maybe to kind of get together with some of our guests, you know, somewhere, someplace. We don't know where. But, you know, and maybe roll with them. Mm-hmm. That would be a wonderful experience. So I'm hoping... I'm praying for that. Like, I it would be nice to kind of meet those people that we've been talking with over the last year in the future. And I'm sure we'll have some of them on again and kind of like catch up with them and see how they're doing. And we do hope that all our listeners during this time, this difficult time, are safe and that they're kind of getting through the pandemic. And for those of you who train and who love jiu-jitsu, we hope that you're training safely and you're still training. Don't give it up. And for those of you who've never trained and just listen to our podcast and like the idea of jiu-jitsu, I always say, well, try it out, you know, give it a chance. I know a few friends who through the podcast are like, we're going to try it. As soon as things open up, we're going to come sign up, you know, arrange it. I'm like, okay, that's going to be the best thing. Like, so, having said that, I think, I'm very happy and I'm proud to have done the 1 year with you, Father Thomas.
Same here.
Yeah, and I hope that we can do many, many more together as long as the Lord gives us, that we can continue to have fun with this project. So thank you again for all your help and for doing this with me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And thank you to all our listeners and all our guests who have come on. We've heard from some of them on this podcast. And we look forward to all those who we will be meeting in the future. So here's to another year. Congratulations. God bless. And a blessed Lent to everybody as well. And we'll see everybody in 2 weeks. Take care.
You have been listening to The Fighting Priests, an independent podcast. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram and let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. Till next time, keep training the body and the soul. God bless.